The message, Christmas, the missing link. Christmas, the missing link. Before we look at this text, let's bow our heads and ask God to give us understanding. Father, as we come to this wonderful text by your prophet Isaiah, we thank you for it, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us, speak to every heart here. And if there's one here who knows not Christ as Savior, Lord, perhaps today you might be willing to make this the day of their salvation. We pray, Holy Spirit, you take charge and that you would speak directly to your people. Let me be just the vessel you use. I ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. Christmas, the missing link. I suppose ever since man began, he's been looking for the missing link. In his quest for knowledge, modern man has been searching for the missing link that ties mankind to something other than God. Mainstream science is looking for a link that will tie us to monkeys or sponges, bacteria, some other silly thing. But the fact is, the only link that was ever missing on this planet is the link between man and God. That's the most important link, and it's the only one that's missing. In the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, there was no missing link. Everything was perfect. God and man were at peace with one another. There was no death. There was no blood pressure problems, no health problems, no sin, no death. Everything was absolutely perfect. Creation was filled with peace and harmony. So the Creator walked in the garden in the cool of the day with his children, and they communed with each other. But there came a day in Genesis 3 when man's sin separated him from God. A time when the chain of love that bound man to divinity was broken. A time when Adam decided to replace God with himself. And the void that sin created inside of man when his spirit died to God is the missing link that mankind has been searching for forever. You see, we were created to worship. And you know that's true because every culture that's ever been on this planet has worshiped something. There's a hole inside of us because of that sin that man created in the Garden of Eden. Where God was, he's no longer there. That doesn't mean that men won't worship anymore. That simply means that they'll worship something else other than the sovereign God. So you see, man's quest to find his animal origins is just a misguided way of trying to reconnect us to anything other than our Creator. The Apostle Paul explained this in Romans 1, 21 and 23 very well. He wrote, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things." That means the missing link isn't about our relationship with the animal world. It's not about our relation with the world of bacteria. No, the missing link has and always has been about our relationship with God. And if we take a moment and we open the scriptures, it's easy to see that the incredible way God and man have been linked together. It's so simple to see. In the Old Testament, it opens up with man being made in the likeness of God. Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" And in the New Testament, it opens with God being made in the likeness of man. Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So we were created in his image, and he created himself in our image. That's one of the links. And if we carry that thought a step further, in the Old Testament, the sovereign God created his creatures. He created them. In the New Testament, sinful creatures crucified their sovereign creator. The link is unmistakable. The point Scripture makes is very clear. For reasons only God knows, it has pleased him to be irrevocably linked to mankind. He's linked himself with us. Now, that being said, I would also tell you he has never linked himself with angels. He has never linked himself with lower creatures. He has only linked himself intimately and irrevocably to mankind. Nothing else in the universe. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, is but one of many promises that divinity will take on flesh and humanity will take on divinity. And a little over 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem, that promise was fulfilled in the form of the Christ child Jesus. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Christ is the missing link that reconnects us to our origins. Not some half-human, half-animal creature, which, by the way, has never been found. I remember being a child and hearing about the theory of evolution. It was a theory. Well, somewhere along the line, it went from a theory to a fact, but nobody proved the evidence. The only thing that we are linked to, is linked to, is God. And I got to tell you something. Isn't that really the most important thing that we should consider? Who we're linked to? Man has been separated from God for thousands of years, but the birth of Christ and what he represents links us back to that original position with God. Before there was just Israel, the whole world was without God, but there was just Israel. But with the Christ child, all people from all nations now have the opportunity to be linked back to their origin of God. Jesus declares that himself in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Simple stuff. And Paul backs that up in Ephesians 2:18 and 19. Jesus declares that himself in John 14:16. Oh, I just said that. In Ephesians 2:18 and 19, for through him, that is Jesus, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's the connection that's missing in so many lives. And I dare say there are billions of Christians who call themselves Christians who still haven't formed that link in Christ. Because believing in Christ is more, and the Christ child is more than having a mental assent to it. It's more than just putting it in your heart and saying, I love him. I believe that people do that. But believing in Christ, believing in that child, believing in the cross, believing in being linked to God is a lifestyle. And you can only have that lifestyle if God has regenerated your heart. That's the link that's missing in many lives and in many Christian lives. It's also important to note that our text is more than just a prophecy of the coming Messiah. It's more than that. Unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. In this text, we see both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. And both of these nature and both of these natures that he had or has is essential to our salvation. He had to be what's called the theoanthropic man. Theo was God, anthropic is man. He had to be that way in order to redeem us. You see, it pleased the Heavenly Father when he made the plan of creation, the plan of salvation. It pleased him to work under his law that he gave the Jews. And under that law, in Leviticus 25:37, it says, if a relative, for whatever reason, sells themselves to another, back in those days, they did in order to survive. They would be somebody's slave. And if you did that, one of your blood relatives who has the means could redeem you from servitude. They could take you out of bondage if they could afford it. So for Jesus to have the legal right to redeem us from the bondage of sin, the first thing he had to do is he had to be related to us. That's what the law said. He had to be a blood relative of us. And that requirement was fulfilled when the Virgin Mary gave birth to the Christ child. Back in Genesis 3:15, we know that Jesus said, the seed of the woman will bruise you. Well, there'll be an enmity between your seed and her seed, and you shall bruise him on the heel, and he shall bruise you on the head. That was the Creator Christ talking about his incarnation and his death, that he was coming to be the champion of mankind because he knew what the devil had done in tempting our first parents. So our Lord said, Jesus set his glory aside, and the Bible says he took on the likeness of our flesh. Paul describes that transference in Philippians 2:5-7. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I just want to comment on that for a second. We look at that and we read that and it says, well, that's not such a big deal. You know, he just stepped down off his throne and he came. No. It's a much bigger deal than that. When we look at the Christ child in the manger, what we're looking at is a baby. But the significance isn't that it's a child. The significance is who that child is. And that child is the Lord Jesus Christ, both God and man. And for him to do that, the Creator himself had to strip off his glory, had to lower himself to the point of his creation, to be knitted by the Holy Spirit into his mother's womb, then be born in flesh like we are. He had to do that. And it is God incarnate that came. The baby was just the form he took. He had to take that because that's how we all start. But inside of that child was God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would add that the Christ child wasn't human just in the flesh. Scripture affirms that he had a human nature. It wasn't just that he was God in the flesh. He had two natures. He was one person with two natures. Hebrews 2:17-18. The writer of the Hebrews teaches us, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So when Isaiah prophesies to us that unto us a child is born, God is telling us the child Jesus would be human in every respect except one. He would be sinless. Unlike humanity, Jesus was born sinless because Matthew 1:18 declares his Father was the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't under the headship of Adam. And I would also add to that that Jesus throughout his life remained sinless. And I would also ask you to consider this. I don't know if you remember going back to when you were younger, you remember your mother or your dad or somebody saying to you, now, would you try to be good for a couple of hours? And I don't know how difficult that was for you, but I can tell you there's wills that were changed over the way I behaved for a couple of hours. So if it was that difficult for us to be good for just a couple of hours, what kind of suffering must it have been for the Christ child who was sinless and perfect to see all the depravity of man? Even his own brothers and sisters as an adult didn't believe that he was the Messiah. How difficult must it have been, and how much suffering do you think was involved in his everyday living, being sinless and living in such a sin-drenched world? That was part of his humility, and he did that for you and I. We know Jesus remained sinless throughout his life because Scripture tells us that, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted, just as you and I are. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul backs that up. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, in the requirements, the Christ child met all the requirements of the law when he was born. He was a blood relative of Mary. He was human in every respect. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew anger. He knew joy. He was tempted. And when his ministry was over, like every other human being, he gave up the ghost. He was as much a human as you and I are. So there can be no question that the law was satisfied and that Christ is a relative of ours because he is human in every respect. And that brings me to the second part of our text. Unto us a son is given. In this section, we see the divinity of our Redeemer. Under the law, not only must the Redeemer be a blood relative, but they must also have the ability to pay the debt. To pay the debt of their kin, whatever it might be, you have to have the ability. Who was the son that was given to us? Who was the child laying in the Christ manger? Laying in the manger was the Christ child. Listen to what John 3:16 said. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God himself could pay our sin debt. Past, present, and future. But it had to start somewhere. And it started, of course, in the manger. We see that the divine power exercised and spoke of throughout the New Testament, the power that he had, we see it. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He resurrected from the dead. Crippled, walk. And there can be no denying that. There were so many witnesses that saw it. If you deny that Jesus Christ was God and the miracles that he did and the thing that he did, you could just as well deny that George Washington crossed the Delaware. It's both a historical record, and there's facts that back it up in the fact of testimonies of people who saw it. And that's really what the law demands, a testimony of the truth. And he was the truth. Unto us the Son is given. The Son of God was the Christ child Jesus, and he had the legal right, and he had all the divine power he needed to redeem his elect from the fallen race of Adam. John the Baptist talked about his power when he revealed the Messiah in John 1:29. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And at the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples, for this is my blood to the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sin. Matthew 26:28. Paul told the church at Rome, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5:9. And Revelation 1:5 reminds us, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Christ child, we celebrate a traditional time he was born. It's a high watermark in Christianity. It's because God came. God is with us. And he came here for a specific reason. He came here to die for you, Mel. He was born for you, Jerry. And he lived his sinless life for you, Joe, so that he could be that spotless lamb. You see, Christmas and Easter, they're all linked together so closely. He is the missing link that man is always trying to look for. And at the end of his life, the missing link between man and God, he would utter three holy words that summed up his humanity and his divinity when he said, "It is finished." Now, I want to tell you, that wasn't the depressing cry of a helpless martyr. That wasn't an expression of satisfaction. Now, well, my suffering's over. That isn't what he was doing. And it wasn't the last gasp of a worn out life. If you read the scriptures carefully, it says, he said with a loud voice, after being up all night, after being interrogated, after being beaten 39 times, after carrying a cross a couple of miles, after being crucified and having your sins and my sins laid on his back, he said with a loud voice, "It is finished." When we celebrate the incarnation of Christ, that's really what we're celebrating. We're celebrating those three words, because it's those three words that give us the missing link. Because what he did was he paid the sin debt for all of those people that come to him and have faith and trust in him and believe in him. And believing in him, as I said, is a matter of a lifestyle. It's living a Christian life, not just talking about it. Everything that was necessary for putting away your sins and my sins, everything, and providing a perfect standing before God was done. But it all started in that manger. Everything necessary to secure an eternal inheritance to his elect people was done. Everything. Not one thing was missing. Nothing was left wanting. The costly ransom was given. The great conflict had been endured. Sin's wages had been paid in full. And divine justice had been satisfied. Done. And after he committed his spirit to his Father, the missing link between the fallen man and God was now in place. Boom. It's there. Now people from every nation can celebrate, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. The Christ child represents salvation for all of God's people in every generation, you and I. But it started with an infant in a manger. A humble thing, a simple thing. No one would be afraid to walk into a stable and worship. If he was born in a palace, or if he was born in a wealthy man's house, you wouldn't just want to walk in there, but a stable so everybody could go in. Have you done that? If you're listening to this, have you done that? Have you found the missing link in your life? There's a missing link. I remember before I was saved, I couldn't understand why. I always had a yearning in my heart. I was never satisfied. Things would satisfy me for a while. You know, you'd buy a new car, you'd feel, hey, that's pretty good. But after a while, it loses its glimmer, and something else comes in, and you go back to having that feeling. And then maybe you'll find a relationship with somebody, and oh, and that feeling's good too, and that lasts a while, but it's like everything else. It's all temporary stuff. And as all of you know that know me for any length of time, I never wanted God. I never thought about God much. And he wasn't someone that I wanted in my life because I figured my life was going pretty good. But I always had that yearning in my heart. And I never really realized what it was. And I didn't even think too much about it. But I always found myself wanting something more. And once something was done, I'd go to move on to something else. And I think all of you here do that same thing. I think that's a human trait. You see, what that is that's that hole I was telling you about in the very beginning. It's the link that's missing in our life. And I didn't think it was God. I thought, well, maybe something else. I can find something else that will fill that hole, that will give me some comfort, that will help me to understand more about myself, and maybe it'll give me some peace and joy, because ultimately that's what we're looking for, peace and joy. And I never found it until February 23rd, 1997, when God put a calling on my life. The guy who used to make fun of Christians, who used to say, well, let's see, how did he get those dinosaurs in that ark? And what about this and what about that? The eternal pessimist about God. But I got to tell you something, beloved. When he called me, that's all I wanted. And it wasn't at first that I understood about that hole. It was a while, maybe a year after I was saved. I started feeling calmer. I started feeling more at ease. More peace was in my heart. All of a sudden, all the things I thought I wanted to do seemed to not have as much gloss to it. Instead, just growing, praying, helping other people. All of that came because of that little Christ child, Jesus, in my life. Now, there are many people, and I was one of them, because I haven't been saved that long. There are many people who feel exactly the way I did previous to being saved. And I got to tell you something. I told my wife this the other day as we were reflecting on our age, because we visited my two sisters the other day, and they were reflecting on their age, and because we're all about the same age, it's like, wow, where did that go? You know, the common thing. But I was telling my wife, did you notice the last 20 years since we've been saved? Have you seen the glory? When in your life did you ever have so much hope? When in your life did you ever have such a feeling of peace in your heart that no matter what happens, you know you're covered? When? And she said, well, I never did, and neither did I. So if you're listening to this and you think this is a bunch of poppycock, that's exactly what I thought. That means that God hasn't called you yet, but maybe he's stirring your heart. Maybe he would like you. Maybe he would like you to come to the cradle that holds Jesus, or maybe go to the cross. If you feel him stirring your heart, you call me. If you don't know the way, I'll show you how to put that missing link in your life, because I put it in my life. Well, he put it in my life, but I accepted that. And my life changed in ways none of you listening can ever imagine. My brothers and sisters in Christ, 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, his people, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, that's the miracle of Christmas. God's willingness to send the Christ child to save wretched creatures like you and I. That's the miracle of Christmas. In giving his son to the world, God provided all of us with the missing link in our life, the missing link between us and our sinful self and the perfect God. He provided it. So, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go home rejoicing and celebrating because I found the missing link to my origins, and so did you. And that missing link is found in the Christ child Jesus. That's where it all started. It was forged in a manger, and it was dropped at Calvary. And all we have to do is accept it, put it in our life, fill that hole, and rejoice forevermore. And I would also tell you that all the Christmas promises, usually I pass out a list of 30 Christmas gifts that God gives his people, but I know that almost all, if you don't have that, by the way, see me and I'll see that you get a copy. All the Christmas promises that comes with that baby, that forms that link between you and God, all of them belong to us. All of them do. And I pray that from this day forward, all through the upcoming new year, that all the promises of Christmas that's in your life, the unconditional joy, the love, unconditional love and joy and hope and peace, all of those Christmas gifts, I pray that you will shine them into a dark world and let others see the Christmas that God has given you, because you have found and you have within you the missing link that connects you to your Creator. Let's pray. Father, words, human words, are not adequate to describe divine peace. Your word says it's peace which passes all understanding. And Lord, that's really what Christmas is about, the peace that we have between you and us, the peace that came as a part of the package of the Christ child Jesus. God, we want to thank you for that peace. We want to thank you for the hope. We want to thank you for all the blessings that you give to your people. And for those that are not saved, Father, I pray that you would use this message and you would use the infant Jesus and what he meant to open up eyes that are blind and hearts that are hard. Pray, Lord, you would remove those hard hearts, and this Christmas, more who hear this message would come to you to want to know more about your son and the missing link he has that can reconnect them to you. We ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen.